This summer, the Obama administration put America's energy industry on notice. A new mandate from the Environmental Protection Agency requires the nation to cut carbon emissions from coal-fired power plants by nearly a third by the year 2030. At the same time, many states, including ours, are discussing how they should increase energy efficiency through renewable sources. In March, Governor Rick Snyder said he'd like to see Michigan achieve a 30 to 40% increase in renewable energy sources while reducing waste. State lawmakers are presenting a host of bills that seek to meet these and other goals. The Snyder administration says Michigan will submit its compliance plan for the Clean Power Plan 1 year from now, September 2016. Joining me now to talk about the implications of Michigan's energy future are two guests. Dan Bishop is Director of Media Relations for Consumers Energy in Jackson. Welcome, Dan.
Good morning, Mark.
And Sarah Mulcoff is the Energy Program Director for the Michigan Environmental Council. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you. Good morning.
We're happy to consider our listeners' questions as well this morning. Tweet us those at KAR Current State or email us currentstate@wkar.org. At the top, Dan, give us your thoughts on the implementation of this state plan. I believe it's called SCIP or S. It's the State Carbon Implementation Plan. Who's hammering that out? Who has a voice at the table here?
I sure can, Mark. And as you've indicated, this is a huge issue. It's going to really dramatically and dynamically impact Michigan's energy market. So this is the next set of EPA regulations, if you will. We have a current set of EPA regulations that is impacting the state by driving the shutdown of 9 coal plants in Michigan. But this next set, the Clean Power Plan, is going to require states to come up with a significant carbon reduction plan. You know, the state last week announced its intent to begin the process of developing a state implementation plan. We think that makes good sense. We think having a Michigan-first energy plan is the right approach for our customers and for our state, so we support.
What does that mean?
That really means that this is a complex process where the state has to look at the energy future and figure out how are we going to reduce carbon in terms of our energy production. We've got coal plants shutting down. We'll be transitioning more toward natural gas. We'll be increasing emphasis on reducing energy waste, and renewables are going to have an important role to play as well, but it's a very complex process. Interestingly, the Toledo Blade had an editorial on Friday with an amazing headline about Michigan's energy wisdom commending the state for announcing this process.
Sarah, what do you think belongs in this plan here? We're at the beginning of the process here, but what's a priority as far as the Michigan Environmental Council? You might also want to say, and you're both welcome to weigh in on this, what doesn't belong in this plan? What belongs in it and what doesn't belong in it?
Thanks. Well, we were really impressed and appreciative of seeing the state's leadership on taking its own direction for the state carbon implementation plan. And so it's going to be between cross agencies that are leading it, the Michigan Agency for Energy, the MEDC, the Department of Environmental Quality, and the MPSC, hope to work with a wide variety of stakeholders on the process, too. And so we hope to be part of those groups at the table, starting to think about which compliance options we do have for reducing carbon in Michigan. So the way the rule is proposed is that there's a series of different building blocks and different approaches that we can do here in Michigan to reduce carbon emissions. And there's also different approaches between doing a rate-based calculation on carbon reduction versus mass-based per megawatt hours. Either will result in reduction of CO2, but from our perspective, we would want to encourage the path towards energy efficiency and using renewables as part of that program.
Dan, go a little deeper with us on that, Dan. What? Go ahead.
Sure. We think a really critical issue here, Mark, is that Michigan and its energy policy leaders really take control of our energy future. You know, we don't want control to be in the hands of Washington, if you will. Our 1.8 million customers, they want affordability, sustainability, and reliability. Those are really the key attributes. And ensuring that we've got a Michigan First plan really makes sense. So if you look at the transition, what's happening, less reliance on coal, you know, 9 coal plants shutting down in Michigan by 2016, that includes 7 consumers' energy plants that have served the state well for 60 years. And in 8 months, those plants will be shutting down. So looking forward, less reliance on coal plants, and increased use of natural gas. We're adding a 540-megawatt natural gas plant in our hometown of Jackson. It's about 10 blocks from our corporate headquarters. And also, there's no question that the federal plan is going to require increased investment in renewables and increased focus on reducing energy waste, which is something that the governor has called for in his major policy address.
We're talking about Michigan's evolving energy policy. Our guest today, Dan Bishop, Director of Media Relations for Consumers Energy. Also, Sarah Mulcoff, the Energy Program Director for the Michigan Environmental Council. A particular issue here in Michigan is the sheer cost of electricity. We have the highest electricity costs in the Midwest, if I'm not mistaken. Everybody would like them lower. There's a bill in the Senate right now, Senate Bill 438, and its supporters argue that the way to lower electricity rates for Michigan residents is not through more government mandates or regulations that basically order them to implement what they claim is more expensive green measures. Where does the Environmental Council stand on 438, Sarah?
Sure. We think there's a number of ways to address how to lower rates, electric rates in the state. And first, it would be to establish clear goals for the utilities to meet. Our very successful current energy law, the PA 295, has led to great investments in renewable energy and energy efficiency. So we know that those investments that are marked by goals or standards allow the state to close plants and not have to replace them because we're using energy more efficiently. We also know that we can address capacity constraints through rate design, and so actually sending better price signals to customers, and of course better utilizing which current plants are in capacity and closing those marginal units. And so Senate Bill 437 makes a number of changes to how we look at the definition of renewable energy. They use something more of like a clean energy resource. We want to ensure that a true renewable energy standard takes into account public health through reduced emissions and also doesn't phase out these very successful renewable energy and energy efficiency standards.
Dan, does consumers support Senate Bill 438?
We do support Senate Bill 438, Mark. I will make a point about reliability and affordability, really. It's an interesting and a challenging issue. We have made some recent progress on this. So we are in compliance with PA 169, which really says, let's ensure that energy-intensive businesses in the state, job creators, have the opportunity to have a competitive electric rate so that they can create jobs in our state. We're in compliance with that. In fact, the state's announcement last week about the SIP process cited the fact that we're making progress in terms of making electric costs more affordable for manufacturers. We also took a look at actual bills paid by residential customers. So while rates tend to be a little bit higher, actual bills in Michigan, because we tend to be a cooler state, the last week notwithstanding, air conditioning use tends to be less in Michigan than in other states. So actual bills were about the 15% below the national average. So more progress to make in terms of affordability, but we're doing some good work on that front.
Sarah, let me ask you, would a greener energy landscape also enable push costs lower? Could a greener, because this strikes me as maybe one of the points of contention here between the two of you. You would advocate for a greener energy landscape, but would a greener energy landscape also lower costs?
Yeah, we think it would. If you're talking green in terms of true renewable energies,
yes,
such as solar and wind, solar, for instance, the price of solar contracts has been steadily coming down. And what's great about that is it locks in low rates into 20 or 30 year contracts over a long period of time. And again, this is a $0 for the fuel used for solar as well. And that's something that we see as more reliable than volatile cost of fossil fuels that we can't predict in the same way as some of the long-term renewable contracts.
But Dan, you have some concerns over that.
We do.
Have concerns over too many green energy mandates.
Yeah, I think in general, so Sarah's organization and ours would in general be in alignment on a lot of issues. But when it comes to subsidies, we think that's an issue that should be discussed. when it comes to mandates. That's really an issue that state policymakers are wrestling with, and they'll be the deciders of that. As just as a general philosophical issue, shifting cost from one set of customers to another, we think is inappropriate. It's an issue of fairness. We think customers, to the best extent we can do, really should pay for a fair price for electricity. That's an actual price. So lessening subsidies or reducing those, we think, is an important and valuable approach.
We're talking about Michigan's evolving energy policy, its energy future. Dan Bishop of Consumers Energy joins us. Also, Sarah Mulcoff, Energy Program Director for the Michigan Environmental Council. Speaking of cost shifting, one of the most talked about issues recently has been net metering. This is the existing program whereby customers can install their own renewable electric generation devices, home solar, if you will, rooftop solar. It usually means solar panels. There's been legislation filed in the last month by the Michigan House Republicans that would eliminate net metering at the retail rate and instead compensate people at the wholesale rate. There's been counter legislation also filed to expand the net metering program. You two are on opposite sides of this one. Dan, Consumers is an advocate for change here. What's wrong, what's unfair about net metering right now?
Sure, so a couple of thoughts, Mark, about solar. One, we support solar energy. We know that it has an important role to play. In our view, the studies are clear that utility-scale solar projects make the most sense. They're about twice as efficient as rooftop solar. There's less of an environmental footprint. They produce less carbon. We're working very closely with Grand Valley State University and Western Michigan University on large, what we call our solar gardens program. And these are larger scale programs. They work well. It's really an exciting thing. We're quite pleased about that. When it comes to rooftop solar, it's a very small number of participants in Michigan. There's about 1,800, according to the Michigan Public Service Commission, about 400 for our system. They're not as efficient, but the real issue has been pricing. They have not really been fairly priced. We think, as a matter of fairness, that all customers should pay their true cost of supporting the electric grid, which is really a critical thing for our state.
And our existing net metering setup, I think, is a little bit more, you tend to favor that. Sarah, tell us why.
Yeah, we actually agree to some extent in that we think that distributed generation customers also need to pay their fair share of delivery to the grid, but not for what they generate. And so the utilities are already getting paid by their other customers for the delivery of power by distributed generation. And we agree that all costs should be evaluated, including the line loss and grid stability. But the changes to it would truly make it unfair to some of those distributed gen customers. And we don't think that there's been enough fair evaluation or research about the supposed subsidies that are placed on those net metering customers.
This does seem like a disincentive to people, Dan, who have gone so far as to install rooftop solar.
Yeah, we've been a real clear, Mark, that we think there should be discussion about grandfathering those folks that have made that installation under the previous set of rules. They had made an investment. There ought to be some discussion about including them under the old set of rules, and I think that is happening. But we've, you know, the industry and our company has looked at the subsidy received by rooftop solar installation participants. It's a very significant subsidy. It could be as high as 65%. And as that program grows, we think it's really important to get the pricing right. We think it, in fact, that a lot of folks will look more at the utility scale solar option to participate in that. We think that just is more efficient and a more fair approach, if you will.
We're just about out of time, but I want to ask both of you about the renewable energy mandate, renewable energy portfolio. Can you each give me a percentage as to what should happen to the 10% mandate that expires at the end of this year? What should that number be, Sarah?
Yeah, we'd like to see the RPS continue to increase by 1.5% annually, as well as our energy efficiency savings goals.
And that puts us where? 1.5% annually puts us
By 2022, that would put us at about 20%.
Dan I'll Bishop. Decline from an exact number of markets. Really, the mandate issue is up to state policymakers. But with the dynamic change of the clean power plan coming, less coal plants in Michigan, more renewable energy, reducing energy waste and renewable energy have to play a role going forward.
Would consumers like it to just go away completely?
We know that renewable energy is important. It's got an important role to play in our future.
There's lots more to this landscape. We want to thank our two guests for clarifying it a little bit here. We've been talking about Michigan's evolving energy policy. Sarah Mulcoff is the Energy Program Director for the Michigan Environmental Council. Dan Bishop, Director of Media Relations for Consumers Energy. Sarah and Dan, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.